This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Shiva Chandrasekaran, Chief Population Health Officer and ACO Executive Director at Einstein Healthcare Network in Philadelphia. Dr. Chandrasekaran, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before I jump into the questions, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
So my background, I am a primary care physician and general internist by training. I spent all of my career here in the Philadelphia area in varying roles, clinical practice, clinical education, private practice, worked as a payer medical director, and now I'm back at a health system working as an executive leader in population health. So I've really spent a lot of time in multiple roles, looking at multiple perspectives from both the clinical education side as well as now the leadership side.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds great. And I guess we'll jump right into it. What are your top priorities today, and how do you see them changing over the next year?
So the top priorities today, I think, obviously are influenced by COVID. So, right now, my top priority, I think, is to help our teams who have had a really challenging year to gain their energy, to gain their focus again, to return to some of the initiatives that maybe have been put on hold, and to, you know, understand the pacing of that return. You know, we can't do everything that we planned to do a year and a half ago immediately, but we do have to get back to caring for our community's needs. And in some ways, COVID-19 has really exposed some of the challenges that our patients and communities face in achieving equitable health care, in access, in achieving good health outcomes. So I think that's a real priority for all of us, is helping our teams and helping return to those priorities that maybe we have been distracted from.
That makes a lot of sense. And when you're looking at the priorities or the things that you could return to, is there anything on the docket that you're really excited about in terms of something that would be upcoming?
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about the focus on really bringing people together across the network, and not even across the network, but even across our communities, partnering with community organizations, with payers, sort of innovative ways to improve quality of care, to improve access, to improve engagement with our higher risk patients, maybe patients who aren't as engaged with traditional healthcare services. So I think in some ways, the silver lining, as many people are talking about, is that we've seen what great partnerships can do across departments, between health systems and community-based organizations. And so that's what I'm really excited about. I think there's tremendous opportunity to improve care using those partnerships.
That makes sense. And now looking ahead, especially with your role as a Chief Population Health Officer, what are you most excited about today and what makes you nervous?
Yeah, what I'm most excited about and what makes me most nervous in some ways is the same thing, which is payment reform and the rapid movement to alternative payment models. We are seeing a tremendous shift, I think, from 2000 to 2020, 2010 to 2020 with the Affordable Care Act and the formation of accountable care organizations and bundled payment models. We really saw the first stage of value-based payment take off, and many organizations kind of got their feet wet and started focusing on shared savings, on improving quality, on kind of caring for a population as opposed to caring for individual patients. What we've seen in the last few years is really an acceleration. Commercial payers, employers, Medicaid, Medicare with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. So that's exciting. It means this is here to stay. It means this is not a fad. It means this is the future, and that a large percentage of revenue and opportunity is going to be in value-based care. I think that's also what keeps people like me up at night, is the absolute complexity of these new payment models can be dizzying. Whether you're talking about primary care first, kidney care models, oncology care models, bundled payment models, direct contracting, Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, managed care organizations, all of whom have different versions of these alternative payment models because their populations have different needs, there are different stakeholders involved in the decision making. So it makes it really challenging to develop a unified care model that can serve the needs of a population across multiple payment models.
Got it. I absolutely see where that challenge can be in terms of making sure that you've got what, you know, the patients need in the coverage, and you're able to simplify it as much as possible, I'm sure, from the health system perspective.
Absolutely. And especially explaining this to clinical leaders, to operational leaders, and of course, to frontline clinicians and staff. We have, as leaders, the responsibility to translate and distill these complex payment models into direct, simple goals. You know, we want to improve care for our patients. We want to prevent cancer. We want to keep folks from getting hospitalized who don't need to. And so that's really the challenge, is how do we take the complexity in the agreements that have, you know, pages and pages of requirements and goals and measures, and really translate it into actionable, clinically relevant, meaningful goals for our organization.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, my last question for you today before we wrap things up here is, what is your top advice for aspiring clinical leaders today?
Yeah, so I'd say the advice I would give are to focus on a few areas that I think maybe we don't think about in our strategy and our tactics. You know, the first thing is, how fast can we transform our care model, whatever our goals are? So, you know, there's always going to be multiple stakeholders of multiple ideas about where we should go, and all of them probably have great potential to improve care for patients. But the strategic challenge is really how fast to transform and where to transform, and that transforming too fast can be dangerous if you invest too much or move in a direction that isn't appropriate. But also waiting and saying, we're going to wait till the payment model changes, or we're going to wait till the market changes, going too slow is the challenge. So leaders in this space, I think, really have to find that middle ground. So I think that's one piece of advice I would give. You know, the second is, you know, how we bring in people to our organizations, how we hire, how we onboard people, how we train people, is going to be almost as important as the clinical programs that we design, the tactics we put together. Because as we move into value-based payment, a more population health management model of care, the traits of the people we're looking for are probably going to be different. They're going to have to be more flexible. They're going to have to be creative. They're going to have to be more collaborative across disciplines, both clinical and non-clinical disciplines. So I think that's a real challenge, because traditional healthcare training doesn't necessarily lead to these traits. And so we're then going to have to bring people in, have the potential, and then move them along this journey with us as we're trying to build a new care model. And then the third thing I would say is, continuous learning is a constant challenge. And so it's not enough to bring in the right people, have the right payment model, design the right programs, and then assume that things are going to proceed. You know, just as in clinical medicine, you know, clinical leaders are really used to continuing medical education, constantly learning about best practices changing. I think the same is true in care delivery. So we have to design kind of that continuous learning model so that our teams are constantly adapted, getting ideas from other organizations, sharing with each other, so that we're not static.
Dr. Chandrasekaran, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Great. Thank you so much.